Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, if you knew that you were going to be reincarnated, and you were going to be reincarnated as a plant, what plant would you choose?
Rhododendron.
Yeah, why?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful blooms, nice thick leaves. It's, you know, it's hardy, ornamental, and yet it has substance.
Describe this one to me. What does it look like?
Sort of a plant with nice glossy green leaves.
Okay.
Sort of, you know, that spade shaped, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, beautiful pink blooms or red or I don't know. It's something that I look out, from my window a lot.
Okay.
Which is why it came to mind so quickly. And you?
I would go with moss. Some form of moss.
So gothic. That's so you.
It's not really gothic. I think moss is a very happy type of a plant. I mean, if I was going to go with a goth plant, I don't know. I can't think of a goth. Plants aren't very goth for the most part.
Actually, there are goth gardens. They're beautiful. I'm not kidding.
Really?
They're these deep purples. You should go online and look up goth gardens.
Okay, so they're just like a lot of dark purple plants and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, moss, I think of moss as rich and vibrant, growing in the depths of woods where never a goth has tread. So, and just living peacefully, far from everything, and just, you know, soft and moist. That's the life I would choose.
There's something ascetic about it, I will say that. Monk-like about moss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Just living there, hanging out, moss.
Yeah. You know, for taking it easy in the next life as a plant. But that's one of the things we're really going to discuss in our podcast today. Plants really have this stereotype. It's easy to dismiss plants as being this passive, not even really an organism. You just think of like plants as stuff that grows elsewhere in the world that I have to cut back in order to see across my lawn, that has to be maintained to a certain degree, but otherwise isn't really a player on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you think about invasive types of plants like kudzu in the south, when it was introduced, it just took over everything. So if you're driving along the highway, you'll see kudzu covered buildings. It's just pretty monstrous looking. And so you look at it more like, oh man, that's such a pest. I need to maintain this.
Yeah, but even then we just think of it as this amorphous force that sort of coming at us. It's right. It's easy to dismiss it and not think of it as something that is actually a highly sensitive bunch of organisms.
Well, I mean, yeah. There's a secret life to plants.
Yeah, and they're actively competing for environmental resources, both above the ground and below the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're assessing their surroundings, and they're estimating how much energy they need to expend. Granted, all of this is taking place at a much slower pace than with us animals. But it's happening. And one of the key things that we're going to look at today is communication.
Yep, specifically whether or not plants actually have a language in the form of chemical compounds. Language, what you say? But wait until you hear some of the stuff that we're about to lay on you.
We're specifically talking about chemical communication. You see this in between plants, so inside plants, but also between other plants. In fact, there are more than 20 different groups of molecules related to communication in plants that we've identified. And those are groups. So, for instance, there are up to 100,000 different substances that are actively used for communication in the root zone of plants alone.
Mm-hmm.
You have things like mechanical contact that are responsible for setting off some of this communication. For instance, you'll have a plant that reacts to an animal that's trying to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Or something touches it and discards pollen so that whatever's touching it will carry that pollen elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is growing in such a way as to intersect with a beam of sunlight that's coming in through the canopy above. And you see these interactions between plants and other plants, mm-hmm. between plants and other species, other families, even whole other kingdoms. And most of these are symbiotic or parasitic relationships, but they exist. They're not, they are not passive members of the environment. They are active members of the environment.
Yeah, and let's put a little bit of rubber to the road and give you an example of this. Okay, that fresh-cut smell of grass,
mm-hmm.
okay, that you smell on a Saturday morning that reminds you of summer and whatever else summer reminds you of, that actually is a very intentional smell, and it is a cry of anguish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the blades have cut that grass.
Well, we're anthropomorphizing a little bit. But
a lot of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is what happens, actually. There's something called green leaf volatiles, and this is released when plants suffer tissue damage. And as you say, it can signal to plants of the same or different species or even insects.
Yeah, so these are chemical signal substances, and they are really the oldest form of language. You see them used by microbes, fungi, animals, and plants. And leaves are always emitting these volatiles in small doses, but it's when those parasitic insects move in that you see great quantities emitted. So some of these, definitely, they actually attack a parasite mm-hmm. by producing substances that disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're indirectly attracting other insects that are natural enemies of the parasites. So you can think of it on one level, it's like an immune system that we have, where something's messing with it, it's going to release things to fight it. But then
right.
it's also not afraid to send out that alarm signal and say, hey, something bad going down here, like somebody screaming in a dark alley to say, hey,
right.
I'm being attacked, send in the forces.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a really extreme example of this was what German scientists found when they were publishing their research in Science. They studied wild tobacco planets, and they witnessed the hornworm caterpillars.
Wild tobacco planets?
Oh, did I say that?
I'm not making fun because I accidentally wrote planets yesterday.
Yeah,
when I wrote
I know.
The
you meant plants.
Yeah, but I like the idea of a wild tobacco plant.
Okay, I do too. Well, I don't know for everybody's health. We'll see about that. But wild tobacco plants were actually being attacked by hornworm caterpillars. And what they found was that the caterpillar's saliva caused a chemical change in the GLV compounds the plants produced. And it's that, the interaction of the saliva with the chemical compounds, that then transmitted out, hey guys, guess what? We're being attacked by delicious, juicy hornworm caterpillars. Come and get them.
And those GLVs, again, are green leaf volatiles,
mm-hmm.
which are those chemicals we were talking about earlier. And I think it's also fun to point out that the name for these caterpillars, Manduca sexta.
It sounds like a DJ.
Specifically like a Mexico City DJ somehow. Manduca sexta.
Yeah, okay. Well, now we have the soundtrack
yeah.
to this bit. What's interesting about this is that, of course, we look at this as human beings and say, how can we harness this knowledge for our own use? And scientists think that we may be able to induce the same sort of change via genetic engineering, which might protect plants against pests without encouraging the resistance that pests develop in response to pesticides. Okay, so that we may be able to do the same sort of distress call
mm-hmm.
to protect our crops and whatnot. But more interesting, though, is the question of whether or not plants have this rudimentary form of language.
Lima beans are another interesting example. Did you run across this one?
No.
So lima beans, they're attacked by red mites. First, they change their scent to make them unattractive to the mites.
Mm-hmm.
Then the plants emit scents that are perceived by other plants And they do the same thing. So all the other lima bean plants in the area start making themselves unattractive to these mites before they can even move in. And then some of the emitted substances have an added effect that they bring in other mites that will eat the red mites. So they're kind of unleashing two volatile weapons on these parasites. They're saying, hey, you don't like me after all. See, I smell gross. And they're saying, oh, by the way, we're inviting some friends over to eat you. So it's a two-tiered defense system they have going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty harsh. And there have been people who have actually been using this strategy. It's called push-pull strategy, to put certain kinds of plants around their crops to either attract something that they know is going to be eaten that may have eaten their crop, or to repel them, as you just talked about. Or actually, in that instance, is taking both repel and the attracting. But there's another really interesting thing that came up in an IO9 article, and it's called Plants Can Think and Perform Computations, Say Scientists.
Really? Oh, well, there you go. Let's define computations.
Well, I will. I will.
Okay.
But it is predicated on what you brought up, this idea that plants are trying to protect themselves and immunize themselves against pathogens, right, in this case. There are a group of researchers who believe they've found the plant equivalent of the nervous system, which functions by translating light into chemical reactions and remembering those reactions over time. So what they're saying is that plants need to analyze and remember different wavelengths of light in order to prepare for seasonal variations in pests and pathogens. And Professor Karpinski from the University of Leeds says, every day or week of the season has a characteristic light quality. So the plants perform a sort of biological light computation, there you go, using information contained in the light to immunize themselves against diseases that are prevalent during that season. I think that is fascinating. And we are talking about that, taking that quality of light, because we talked about this last week, about how white light is composed of different wavelengths. And, of course, this varies depending on what that season is.
Yeah, and again, it drives home how plants are not this passive member of the environment. They are active members that are computing things, that are figuring things out, and fighting off attackers.
It's true.
Competing for resources. I suppose we should take a quick break.
We should. And when we get back, we're going to talk about a plant that has the stench of a big, glorious hunk of rotting meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a favorite of everyone's. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We have returned, and now it is time to discuss the Titan Arum.
On the street, it also goes by, well, in Indonesia, Bunga Bangkai, which translates into corpse flower, and its Latin name is actually Amorphophallus titanium. And just in case you picked up that phallus part in there, yes, there is a bit of a penis reference in here. That is Latin for giant misshapen penis.
Yes. It is, because if you look up a picture of the planet, it looks like a giant grotesque phallus. So
yeah, well, actually, it's quite, I mean, this is a weird thing to follow that. It's actually stunning. It's kind of beautiful in a way, because what we're talking about is a plant that grows to 8 feet tall, and it's wrapped in these chartreuse-colored leaves, and when it blooms, the leaves unfurl, and you can see the interior of the leaves, and they look kind of maroony and satin ball gown-looking. And in the middle is that pale yellow that was called the spadix that rises up. This is the big misshapen penis that we're talking about.
It's also interesting that the Titan Arum is not a flower, technically. It's what we call an inflorescence, which is a group of flowers clustered around a central fleshy column, like you said. And I found this interesting as well. There's a little bit of mimicry that goes on in this particular plant, because that its stalk is very fleshy. It's really not, doesn't have a lot of substance to it. So what it does is it mimics lichen growing on that shaft, so that it looks rugged and harder than it actually is, to keep things from plowing into it.
Right. Imagine this guy, this Italian botanist, Edoardo Beccari, in 1878, stumbling upon this corpse flower. He was actually trekking through the rainforest of Sumatra, where these are indigenous. And at first he thought that there was a dead monkey, and that was the source of the stench. But he saw this magnificent 8-foot-tall flower, and the closer he got, the more he realized that this is what smelled, people say sometimes, of rotting garbage, rotting meat, feces.
Rotting fish with burnt sugar was one description that I ran across.
Burnt sugar, okay.
Yeah. And so he discovered this thing, and he's like, they got to have this in England. They need this in the UK. I'm going to send this back to the Royal Botanic Gardens. And he did, and they started cultivating it, because it's absurd.
It is absurd. That's a really good word for it, but also pretty wonderful and awful. So let's talk about why it smells, and why it is not just smells, but it's incredibly pungent.
Well, it needs pollinators. In the same way that you have sweet-smelling flowers that are attracting bees and whatnot to help spread their pollen, this particular plant wants to achieve the same goal, but it's going to find a slightly different way of doing it. You know, there's a lot of competition for all those bees and wasps and butterflies, but old Titan here has a different game in mind. It's going to reach out to the carrion beetles and the flesh flies, these insects that love nothing more than the scent of a rotten monkey in the jungle.
Yeah, and it's got to go big or go home, because it's such a large plant, and it can take a year or more for that plant to store enough energy to bloom. In fact, when it's been cultivated at botanical gardens, sometimes it takes 6 to 7 years to bloom.
Yeah, you mentioned all the energy it has to use. One of the reasons is that it has to heat itself up in order to really get that perfume cranking properly.
Yeah, there's this idea that it is mimicking almost like a human body, flesh Fahrenheit of 98.6,
yeah,
and making itself more attractive.
Yeah, specifically the tip of the spadix is about human body temperature when it's really in full bloom.
Yeah, and so now think about that. It's really hot. It's presenting itself as a hot hunk of meat high up in the air, and it's telegraphing that for up to a half mile.
So all these carrion eaters and flesh flies, they come in, they're attracted to it, they want to consume it, they want to lay their eggs there. They end up inadvertently carrying the pollen out and spreading it, mm-hmm. Which is the whole goal here.
You had mentioned this, the carrion flies, dung beetles. The sort of plant that this actually belongs to, that the species that it belongs to is a category of carrion flowers. Your ears are pricking up the word carrion, which of course, is referring to a carcass, right?
Yep.
And not only do carrion flowers smell like rotting meat, they also tend to look the part. For instance, the Stapelia asterias flower is coated with fine hairs that make the flower resemble moldy meat.
It's really deceptive in its own way. I mean, it's brilliant.
And it is, again, it's a kind of language. I mean, mm-hmm. What is it saying? Come over here and eat my fleshy stalk, which is not flesh.
Yeah, in a way, they're like if you imagine a dinner party and you have all these boisterous individuals having a conversation, and those are the animals, you know, and they're loudly discussing this, that, and the other. But then you have these smaller voices that are perking up. They're not saying much, and they're speaking at a much lower voice, but in their own way, they're really dictating the entire conversation. And that's what's so fascinating about the odorous language of plants.
Yeah, so think about that next time you step on grass, whether or not you're doing some tissue damage there, and there's a cry out for help.
Yeah.
Or not, you don't have to think about that.
There was an amusing track from the band Tool years and years ago on the album Sober, which I know we have a few Tool listeners that are listeners to this podcast, and it started off with this kind of skit where it's like a preacher preaching to a congregation, and he's revealing that he has had this revelation that the carrots have souls and have a consciousness, and that whenever we're harvesting carrots, it's like a holocaust of carrots. I remember finding that particularly amusing back in the day, but it's not too far off the mark. I mean, it's not that difficult to anthropomorphize all these plants when you start looking at just how involved they really are and how active they are in the environment.
That doesn't mean that we're going to stop stepping on grass, right? But it does give us an insight or change our perspective a little bit about communication, like what communication is and what mm-hmm. language is. And we so often think that it has to do with our own mother tongue, but obviously there are all these things going on behind the scenes that we don't get a glimpse into.
Yeah,
usually.
Language itself, that's new stuff. It's a trend that not everyone's even picking up on.
That's true. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah.
Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm actually putting together a slideshow of the corpse flower of Ooh, old nice. Titan.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. We'll post it on Facebook, but you can also put it in the search bar of howstuffworks.com, and you can get a better look at what this thing looks like.
Excellent. Yeah, that should be awesome. Do check it out. See what this gigantic mutated phallus is all about and how it's actually resembling rotten meat a little.
Indeed.
All right. Well, let's call over the robot and see what kind of listener mail we have. Heard from a listener by the name of Zach. Zach writes in and says, "Hi, everyone. After you guys mentioned that we have multiple behavior-altering parasites in us, what would it be like if you could get a person that was completely devoid of not just behavior-altering parasites, but anything that altered their behavior? Would they still be them? At some point, we might not be so much individual, but more of a composite of parasites. Maybe to be human, you need to be this host, not one single organism. The Toxo episode was great and really got me thinking. I think it's one of your best episodes, even if it creeps me out thinking about these parasites." Zach. Well, indeed, it is one of those topics that really turns what it is to be human on its head and makes you reanalyze exactly what the human experience is all
about. Well, I think that Zach's point is awesome, too, that is there any sort of pure example of non-infested people running around, right? Like how this is very much, and we talked about this in terms of bacteria, too, how this very much informs the way that we perceive the world. Like, you know, the gut in our bacteria, we know, affects our mental state. So, bravo, Zach.
All right, here's a little listener mail from Anne, and she's responding to our recent Seven Deadly Sins episode on lust. She says, "Hi, Julie and Robert. You guys do a great job demystifying many interesting and delicate topics for listeners of all ages in a really matter-of-fact way. Love the Wrath podcast. So why do you have such a problem with the proper words for genitalia? Penis is not a four-letter word, nor is vagina, especially for younger listeners. Just using those words instead of a euphemism makes it a less scary / titillating subject. Frankly, if you can't use clear language, maybe you shouldn't be covering the topic. The more you couch information using expressions like Frankenbeans, the more you make it a forbidden area. As an adult with lots of relatives and friends with growing and mostly now adolescent kids, it's obvious that those parents who use and always have used direct terminology also have the most open discussions about sex, sexual health, and birth control with their kids. Hope this isn't harsh. This has been irking me, and I really do love the podcast. Thanks, Anne."
Well, I really appreciate that feedback, actually, because I think that it's important to note that obviously I don't have a problem saying penis or misshapen penis. But in the context of that podcast that we did, because it was about virtual sex, we were trying to be really careful about the language. Mainly that's because the powers that be don't necessarily want us describing graphic acts. Mm-hmm. When I say Frankenbeans, A, I like that. B, I'm also trying to tamp down a little bit of the more the graphic aspect. So that's just to make sure that that podcast gets delivered to your ears and we don't have any problems of it getting red flagged. But to your point, Anne, I think that you're absolutely right about being forthright in using correct genitalia names. I kind of actually rue the day that I told my 3-year-old about the word vulva because she uses it a lot. But yeah, I think that it's important to demystify that as well. But there was actually a reason why we tried to go gentle on the language for that podcast.
And here's one from listener Alex. Alex says, "Hi, I just heard your podcast Godzilla vs. Kong vs. Barbie, and as a Godzilla fan who has seen all 28 films, I feel obligated to add some details and correct some stuff. First of all, I have to say that you forgot some detail to Godzilla's history. After he became a hero-like character in the 60s and 70s, he returned to his darker roots back in the 80s and 90s and became an anti-hero. Next, you guys said that Godzilla's veins would have to be as strong as steel. That's not that improbable in the Godzilla universe, considering how durable he is. You also mentioned that his body is 200 meters long. Godzilla, at his largest, is 100 meters tall while standing. However, he might be 200 meters if he is laying down and you include his tail. This is excusable because you got his mass of 60,000 tons right. Finally, I have to say that it is mentioned in movies that Godzilla's heart is said to act like a nuclear reactor, meaning that Godzilla is powered by nuclear power. Since this would generate more power than cellular respiration, his blood would not have to circulate as much because his cells would be powered longer with nuclear power than with cellular respiration. This means that his blood pressure would not have to be as high. Sorry for making you read through my ranting. Anyways, thanks for doing a podcast on my favorite giant monster. Bye.
Well, there you go.
No, I mean, that's awesome.
It's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, certainly he's seen all 28 films, so he does have a deeper understanding of the fictional physics and biology of Godzilla. And certainly having an atomic heart would change things, but it doesn't mean your heart would be more susceptible to being broken.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's tough being a giant monster in this world. So, if you would like to reach out to us, if you would like to share something with us, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. On Facebook, you can search for Stuff to Blow Your Mind. And on Twitter, our handle happens to be Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.